Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday during lockdown on this Friday morning, the 7th of August 2020. Andrew Mays with you to run through all the sporting highlights and racing highlights from the last 24 hours. Let's start with Thursday night footy. Doubleheader last night, which was always good. Settled in at 5:40. Mind you, it was tough to get through this one until the final moments where shades of his father, Josh Dacos, here with a winning goal for the Pies against the Swans.
Dacos keeps it in. Rocky's old man. Dacos! Peter McCrae, but he's his old man now, Josh. Dacosian.
The new Macedonian marvel. How good was that?
Oh, dessert was better than the entree, though, as the Gold Coast Suns and St Kilda played out a entertaining affair with Dan Butler, again the star for the Saints, as they snuck home by 4 points in a thriller.
Butler, oh, you beauty! That's the best service any Butler can ever give.
Meanwhile, in the NRL last night, solid win for the Roosters, who continue their winning ways this season.
Across to Liu, brilliant hands to Tedesco, the 300 game man is over. Mitch Orbison, few more popular players in the history of this club. What a moment, scores the Roosters try.
Mitch Orbison there crossing 24 points to 16 over St George, the final score. Meanwhile in the A-League last night, 1-1 between Sydney FC and Adelaide.
Trying to play that Ryan Grant roll. Bahaja, great ball, tapping, coming up. Adam Lafondra joins Jamie McLaren atop the Golden Boot race.
Yeah, but they couldn't go on with it. Sydney FC 1-1 the final score. Plenty of news from all codes yesterday, plus a bit of live sport from overseas to get through in just a second as well. Let's go.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget the Breakfast Club returns after 6 o'clock this morning, half Whitey and Rammer. It's going to be a packed show as well. Going to cross overseas to Lydia Williams, Australian representative in the world of football, but she's now playing her football with Arsenal. So plenty of Australians heading, it's been a bit of an exodus from the W League to head overseas, and she's one of them. We'll have a chat to her after 6:30 this morning, the early mail before 7 as we try and get your weekend started perfectly ahead of the most important half hour of the week. Dean Lester and Nick Quinn on the Friday form. Looking forward to tomorrow's racing. And Dean, hopefully, can get us a Rama Ruffy as well. He's been on fire lately, Dean. So must listen radio. Mac Horton, speaking of must listen, the Australian gold medalist, will join us after 7:30 this morning after the 2020 Olympics, of course, were postponed. He should be in the pool right now, but unfortunately, he's training, or he might not be. We'll find out how he's going in lockdown. Danny Widler will also join us from Channel 9, the chief NRL reporter. Extraordinary news yesterday from Wayne Bennett. More on that just a second in the Breakfast Bite. And Boomer Harvey after 8 o'clock for the Friday footy preview. So plenty to come on a packed Breakfast Club. Don't forget, 8:30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. After 9 o'clock, Michael Sharkey will join him for the Friday Form Focus. Always enjoy listening to that on a Friday morning. And then after 10:30, Matt Nevitt and RSN Central to guide you through to your weekend. Plenty of form, plenty of winners, and looking forward to a big Friday edition. Let's start, though, with the footy from last night. I tell you what, it could have been Peter Dacos as Josh Dacos kept the ball in last night, paddled it to his own advantage, and then was able to kick a goal around two Swans and kicking the winning goal. Final score up at the Gabba. 6 goals, 14-50. They were very inaccurate, the Pies, last night to Sydney. 6-5-41. Dacos with the winning goal. Let's hear from Nathan Buckley on the win.
The negatives of it, the lack of finish or connection up front, and even some of our contests down back in the second quarter to allow those scores. They're cream on the cake. The cake was really positive. The way that we set the ground up, our willingness inside, pressure on them, and our ability to win the ball in scrimmage was really strong. Our ground ball and contested ball was back to where we want it. I thought we defended the ground really well for the most part, and we actually used it okay through the midfield. It's just that that last kick, either at goal or to the player who can finish for us. So really positive. As I said, we largely were able to impose ourselves on the game and control the game for pretty much all of it. There was probably 10 minutes in that last quarter where the Swans were able to get the ball forward a little bit more often. But, we totally controlled that. Could have lost it in the end, and that wouldn't have been the way the game was played. But, we do need to finish, and that will come.
Really strange incident last night with Isaac Kano as well. Looked like he had either dislocated his ankle or snapped it or snapped his leg. The doctors were holding his foot so that it didn't move at all. And he looked, in a horrible way. Mind you couldn't tell by his face. He was pretty relaxed. Ended up that he had a massive gash down his leg. Now, if you're a bit squeamish, don't read that on Sun, or at least skip over that page. They've actually published an image of the gash in his leg, and I'm not joking. It's about 2 centimetres wide, and it's all from metal studs that seem to have made some contact with his leg, and he's got about a 10-centimetre split that is really deep. Looks like a surgeon might have done it. Nathan Buckley had his chat last night and was asked about those metal studs.
Isaac actually... tackled a kid who we think, his studs sort of raked across his shin and actually split his shin, 6-8 inches completely open. So it was bad luck. The kid could have had metal studs in as well. So that was his bad luck. Tackling the only kid that had that, but. That will be a couple of weeks. It'll depend on how you can clean the wound and heal that up. Some of our boys are talking about, what type of studs they were. But in the end, it's just bad luck. I haven't heard of that happening in all my time in footy. I'm pretty sure studs pierce the skin periodically, and even Will had an element of that in his knee injury in the first quarter. But you'd never see what happened to Isaac in that last quarter ever. So it's really unfortunate for him, and we don't know exactly, it's because you don't see it very often, we don't know exactly where that'll settle, but he was pretty calm for what he endured. But we'll see, we'll look after him and get him right.
And you're not allowed to wear metal studs, are you?
I don't believe so.
Is that
so. The query? Yeah, I don't believe so. Look, in the end, we don't get them checked. It's not under tools where the umpire comes and checks all your studs before you play.
Maybe they need to start. It's an extraordinary image. It's about 2 centimetres wide, the gash. And good luck to Isaac Kearney. If he gets back in 2 weeks, that'll be a very good effort when you look at the graphic image. Good luck to the Pies as well after they secured the 4 points last night. They then go on to face the Crows at the Adelaide Oval, so a chance for a couple on the bounce for Collingwood. Meanwhile, Sydney have the bye next round, and then we'll face GWS on Thursday. It's a bit weird saying they got the bye and then they're playing about 6 days. So let's head to the next match, which was a cracker between St Kilda and Gold Coast. Final score 12-6-78. The Saints 11-8-74. The Suns, they were coming hard late, but not able to run over the top of St Kilda, who again showed a fantastic fight and running ability with a lot of their small forwards dominating yet again. Dan Butler kicking another 4 goals, and here's Brett Ratten after another solid victory from the Saints.
A step forward with maturity for our group. It's some of these games we've let slip, and we found a way. It wasn't perfect for us tonight. We aspects of our game were behind the sort of standard that we're after, and I thought the boys, yeah, just stuck to it, and it was a bit of a grind, and we sort of got there in the end, but there was aspects of our game which were below par. You know, the last sort of, you know, 3-4 weeks, we've really finished games off strongly and running on top of the ground, which is a good sign, and we had Hind and these bikes really, Butler and their speed really shine in that last quarter, which it did against Sydney as well. So, yeah, it's not just about how far you run, it's maybe at the intensity as well, which is pleasing. You know, it's great for our group to be sitting second, but the competition's so tight, there's not much gap between anybody. And, you know, the way that we played tonight, we gave the opposition a real look at winning the game, and we don't want to be doing that too much. So I think there's still some growth with us. And I thought there was a step forward with maturity to win it when we probably didn't have the, you know, we got beaten badly at clearances tonight. That's an area that we've been pretty good at, and, Gold Coast beat us there, beat us in contested ball, and usually with the numbers against Gold Coast, if you give them those numbers, they win the game. So we were probably a little bit lucky.
Brett Ratten speaking there. We'll hear from Stuart Dew a little later in the breakfast bite, plus a bit of the other footy news, including Ben Brown on his injury. Just before we leave footy, the fixture for round 13 was released yesterday, and it's going to be a very special Indigenous round, so Doug Nicholls round, as Carlton and the Gold Coast will kick things off. But the fascinating thing is we're going to have two games in Darwin, including what would have been Dreamtime at the G. That would be at TIO Stadium. So Gold Coast Carlton, TIO Stadium on the Friday night. Then the Western Bulldogs face Melbourne at Metricon. Port Adelaide v Hawthorn at the Adelaide Oval. Essendon v Richmond at TIO Stadium. Frio and Sydney at Optus Stadium. And then on the Sunday, Adelaide v Geelong at the Adelaide Oval. Brisbane v St Kilda at the Gabba. West Coast v GWS at Optus. And on Monday, we finish with Collingwood and North Melbourne at the Gabba. But the footy frenzy will continue with Monday night footy continuing for the time being. Let's head to the NRL last night, where there was drama aplenty, and a lot of it was away from the actual match. So last night on the park, it was a comfortable win for the Roosters. The final score there, 24 points to 16 over St George Illawarra. Meanwhile, the Melbourne Storm are in action tomorrow at 3 p.m. against Canterbury up on the Sunshine Coast. Let's focus in on the match, though. Paul McGregor speaking here. He's the coach of St George Illawarra. Now, one of his players, Paul Vaughan, had a COVID-19 protocol breach, and he's been ruled out for a couple of weeks, which was a bit of drama before the game for the Dragons coach.
Yeah, that's disappointing. Very disappointing.
When did you become aware of this? How sort of was it like for you today?
Probably an hour before it went live, I suppose, to the public.
Were you aware at all that players were, or that he had gone to a cafe or anything?
No, I wasn't. Once I got told, obviously, of what he'd done, and it was going to the integrity unit and COVID, but we're well aware of what our responsibilities are. We talk about it consistently, and so there's no reason really for it except. It was a selfish behaviour, really.
So that was selfish behaviour. Meanwhile, Wayne Bennett, the coach of South Sydney and, of course, esteemed leader in the NRL, who was part of the Apollo committee, who came up with a lot of the COVID-19 return-to-play protocols, ended up having a breach himself. Fair to say he didn't think much of it yesterday morning. Mind you, he's been told he's got to sit at home for 2 weeks and coach from the couch. This is Wayne Bennett before he learnt of his fate yesterday.
Just want to confirm the news reports this morning that you were dining at Grappa yesterday.
I went for lunch yesterday at Grappa, yeah, I did.
Is that a breach of the COVID rules, Wayne?
I don't know. If it was a breach, I wouldn't have done it. I didn't think it was a breach. I went there with my partner who I live with, just me and her, and something to eat there, and that was it.
Are you worried about it, Wayne? It sounds like that you might have to have you might have to go into quarantine potentially. Where are you at with it all?
No idea, actually. I've just come in from training. I heard there were some news reports about it, but after that, it's in the hands of the NRL, so and the people that are running our COVID quarantine.
So as far as you're concerned, Wayne, you didn't think you were doing anything that sort of breach the rules, obviously.
Well, I go shopping. I go out different places to get meals at times. It's just me and my partner that live together, and she was with me, and I just wanted, you know, went somewhere to have something to eat.
Unlucky for Wayne Bennett is that you're not allowed to do that under the return to play protocols, and he'll be sitting at home for the next couple of weeks until he proves himself fit after a couple of COVID-19 tests. So big news in the NRL yesterday. More on that coming up with Danny Widler on The Breakfast Club. Let's head to the A-League now. One all draw last night between Sydney FC and Adelaide. Here's coach of Sydney FC, Steve Corica, after the draw.
Yeah, I think the first, other than the set-piece goal that we conceded, I think the first half was okay. I think the second half was much better. I think that's more of the standard that we expect and what we want to continue with the remainder of the game. So, yeah, much better performance from the boys in that second half.
Time for a break on The Breakfast Bite. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with All The Live Golf as the PGA Championship, the first major of the year, seems weird saying that, has finally commenced, and an Aussie is doing pretty well. We'll update you on that after the break, plus the cricket from overnight as England are in a bit of trouble against Pakistan. Rugby news as well, and the rest of your footy news with another big game tonight.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Hold on! What a beauty. It takes something special to get Stokes out, and that is special.
Ben Stokes out for a duck as England last night slumped to 4-92 in response to Pakistan's 326 in their first innings. So a little bit of trouble. Mind you, they were in more trouble at the start. At one stage, 3-12 when Stokes departed. But a bit of a steadying innings from Jos Buttler and Ollie Pope. 15 out and 46 not out, respectively, has seen them steady for 4-92, but still a lot of work to do after Pakistan made 326. Let's hear from Jofra Archer quickly on how the match is sitting with him.
No, I'm not. Obviously, they're a world-class team, and, you know, the batting, well, the bowling lineup is very good. Well, probably one of the best bowling lineups we'll play on the test circuit, to be honest. But the batting is... did that, especially in the conditions yesterday. Yeah, I think we just need to get as close to a pass there towards them. Obviously, the wicket's getting a bit easier to bat on, and I'm pretty sure two boys that are not open, they can go on and score big, but no doubt they can go on and score big.
Jofra Archer there after the day's play. A lot of work for England to do. Let's head to the golf now. First major of the year finally underway. And it's an old name at the top of the leaderboard.
Martin Kaymer, former world number one and PGA champ, looking to join him at 5 under par for eagle. He's done it.
Well, it sounds very strange without a crowd there. He did do it. Unfortunately, he's just dropped the shot, Martin Kaymer. So he's back to tied for third. But the good news from an Australian perspective is we have an Aussie leading the tournament. Jason Day, top of the leaderboard at 5 under the card. He leads the way with Bud Cawley from the United States. So both of those two tied at 5 under. Then a number of players at 3 under the card, 4 under the card, rather, including Martin Kaymer, who you heard there. Brooks Koepka is also lurking with a couple of holes left in his opening round. And then none of the other Australians yet to tell. So we've got to wait for all of them to go around. Tiger Woods, meanwhile, 2 under. Through 15 holes. So that's how the state of play is in the PGA Championship at the moment. I'm sure the boys will be keeping an eye on it all throughout the morning. Let's head to the rugby world now. The Melbourne Rebels back in action this week, and coach Dave Vessel says they're being inspired by the way Victoria is responding in the stage 4 lockdown.
Yeah, we got together and actually sent a, you know, as a team before training yesterday and recorded a video message for everybody back home. I think we were just talking to my wife over the last couple of days. She talked about how kind of eerie the city is, and I think everyone's doing it pretty tough over there, you know. So in some ways we definitely feel a responsibility to put out good performances and make those people proud of us. And we're very grateful. We had a huge number of messages and things from people back home, and that really means a lot to the boys, you know. So, yeah, we're pretty motivated to make them proud and to go well.
Let's head back to the footy world in case you are just waking up on this Friday morning and went to bed early last night. The results, Collingwood by 9 points over Sydney after a sensational goal from Dacos late on to seal things, and St Kilda by 4 points over the Gold Coast Suns in what was one of the matches of the season so far. Let's hear from Stuart Dew after a pretty heartbreaking loss for his young side.
Well, the overall message was we were in and up to our eyeballs and had our opportunities. So, you know, they're hurting a little bit because, you know, playing a red-hot team and had an opportunity to win. But, geez, it's exciting to see them come back. You know, when they kick 4 goals in a row and to be able to fight back, we've been talking about that. Showed real maturity, but also some grit. You know, there was periods there where they were well on top and we just hung in, but then pushed back. So, it was a bit of a seesawing battle, but in terms of the messaging for the lads is, you know, we can't fault their heart and effort, and I think that's what was missing last week. So pleasingly, the leaders got together and wound everyone up, and we had a real crack at it. We'd like to think they're starting to play how we're training, and although there is minimal training at the moment, we're doing our work as much as we can to get that and try and get the result, chasing another win. Didn't get it tonight. At different times, we let some easy goals out the back. We lost a bit of shape on those high balls. So, I think we at different times we had to work harder for our goals. But their full of ball methods really really impressive. We knew it was coming. We trained it, talked about it. But it's one thing knowing it. You know, they're predictable to themselves, and it's pretty impressive how they're playing at the moment. They're playing a great brand.
To a bit of the other footy news from yesterday, in case you missed who your team is playing in the round 13 fixture, head to the website rsn.net.au or check out our social media channels at rsn927 on Twitter or Facebook as well, and you can check out who your team has got in Indigenous round in a couple of weeks' time. Meanwhile, Ben Brown spoke to the North Melbourne website about his injury.
And I had a bit of a look at the vision afterwards to see what actually happened, but I think just the way I was tackled and having that sort of twisting motion wasn't great for the knee. I don't think it would have been great for anyone's knee. So, you know, it was a bit unlucky, I think. At the start of the year, if you had have asked me, how do you want this year to go? I probably wouldn't have picked what's happened so far. But I think there are a lot of people in that boat. And as a footy club, we'd be a bit in the same boat there too. So we're working through a lot of things as a footy club and personally as well. But I'm really confident in the way I go about my footy, and I'll work hard and I'm committed to this footy club, and I want to help us to have the success that I think we can in the second half of the year.
Ben Brown speaking there yesterday to Tom Jonas. Now he plays his 150th this weekend.
But I think nothing really changed between us. I think we went with a decision that was made for the best of the footy club, and our goals didn't change. We're still aligned in wanting to win a premiership and play in a premiership, whether you're the last bloke in the squad or the captain of the team or the vice captain. I think we're more about team success and individual accolades. So it hasn't changed much. It's still the three of us, Hamish included, that lead the club. Yeah, I think I've been very lucky this year. I'm surrounded by six defenders, and you know, the ones that come and go, that are all really confident in their game and good level AFL players, and they make my life a lot easier. I've been solid playing my role, and that's all I expect of myself, and then that frees me up to try and lead the other aspects of the game. And the other thing that's been great this year is the pressure coming out of the midfield. It either goes the other way, but if it does come our way, it's always pressured ball, which makes defending a whole lot easier.
That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Friday morning. One game of footy to come tonight, of course. Looking forward to tuning in as Essendon take on GWS at Metricon Stadium. Big Breakfast Club on its way. Half white in Rammer up after the 6 o'clock news. Don't forget, Racing Pulse from 8:30 this morning. And after 10:30, RSN Central with Maddie Nevitt. It's all to come on a big Friday on RSN. Have a great weekend. We'll chat again on Monday.